Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Disney tries to toss a wrongful death suit because the widower agreed to the Disney Plus terms of service, even though it had nothing to do with Disney Plus. Welcome back to the show. It is our fourth and final hour here on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT 855-839-1210. Live from the Democrat National Convention, where President Joe Biden will give his farewell address to the nation tonight. Man, talk about bad speaking slots. I mean, the Hawk-Tua girl's got a better speaking time than Joe Biden does here at the DNC. She's prime time. Now, there's a picture going around about moving trucks at the White House. I mentioned this earlier at the show today. I don't know if it's true, if it's artificial intelligence. I know nothing these days. All I do know, though, is that I would not be shocked if Joe Biden announces he's resigning the presidency tonight and hands it over to Kamala Harris for two reasons. Number one, to screw her over, and number two, to help her, which I know sounds bizarre, but how can two competing thoughts be true at the same time? Well, number one, I mean, he needs her, because the story that broke earlier, Joe Biden and all of the corruption between the Biden crime family, and it's all coming out. I mean, it's all coming out now. Everything that we talked about is coming out. So that's a problem for him in a big way. So he needs the Democrats to win. All right. I mean, the House Republican report that came out this morning that says Joe Biden is a crook of crooks and has committed all kinds of crimes with his son, Hunter. It's all there. So he needs the Democrat to win so that he can make sure that nobody looks into or tries to prosecute him or anything else. He needs that. So that's number one. But number two, which is also an important point to note, is that he hates Kamala Harris. So he wants her to take some of the blame for his disastrous administration. But I guess the question is, would it help or hurt if she's the incumbent? All right. On the one hand, let's do a little pro and con here. On the one hand, it helps because we've never had a woman president. So if she's the first woman president, they can turn around and say, look, you have a woman president now. It's not that big of a deal. Everybody's happy. Yada, yada, yada. And psychologically, people can go, all right, it's no big deal. We have a woman president. That's one way to look at it. Of course, number two is she's basically trying to run as an incumbent. I mean, she's trying to run as an incumbent. She's trying to run as a challenger against an incumbent, which is bizarre because everything in her socialist breadline price gauging, price control speech from the other day was essentially a speech that a challenger would give against an incumbent. Not somebody who caused all this, not somebody who created all this. A person who is in charge would not give that speech. I know things are worse now, but we're going to make them better, even though we're the ones who made them worse. I mean, that makes absolutely no sense. It's like bringing your ex-wife to do your marriage counseling. It's like it's too late. You caused the problems. What are you doing? You can't come in now and try to save everything. But that's where they are with this administration. She's trying to run this strategy and trying to run out the clock at the same time. With this Hollywood-style production that they're doing, they're calling this a presidential campaign. It's a Hollywood-style production. And in the meantime, of course, what we see is them trying to not only usurp responsibility for everything in the Biden administration, but they're trying to say that they are the answer to the problems that they caused. So the downside for her then becoming the incumbent is that then she owns things. And if there's something more disastrous that happens, something with the market, something else, well, then Kamala Harris owns that too. And you could say to yourself, well, if Kamala Harris is president and something bad happens and she gets to react to it in a way that looks presidential, and I mean, put nothing past these people in terms of planning something for that. I'm just making that point. I'm not saying for sure that that's exactly what's going to happen, but then it would give her the ability to turn around and say, oh, look at me, I am ready for the job. I've handled the stress of this on day number one, and I can handle this again as president. From Biden's perspective, he's basically done at this point, right? I mean, he's done. So it's a farewell address on a Monday night of the Democrat National Convention. It's the low energy night. No, it really is. Everybody here who's at this convention seems enthusiastic generally. But Monday, you're kind of like, ah, you know, if this was a wedding weekend, this wouldn't even be the rehearsal dinner yet. This is the Thursday night get together at a bar with some friends from college catching up. You're not even at the official festivities phase of this. And that's where Joe Biden's speaking tonight. And he's really like the drunk uncle you'd be afraid to have toast at the wedding, so you keep the guy at the rehearsal dinner far away from everybody so that he can't go near you. I don't know what else to say other than, I mean, it's a huge disrespect, and he's not coming Thursday night to the final night of the DNC when Kamala Harris will formally be the party's nominee and will give her speech to the nation. He's not coming to that. Now, look, maybe maybe it's very possible that they don't want him there. You know, they want to maybe Kamala Harris, look, she's calling the shots now. Biden may be president, but now she's the nominee, so she's calling the shots. So I guess the only question is, hey guys, how are you? Seeing our old friends from the RNC walking by. The only question is then, since she's calling the shots, does she want Joe Biden anywhere near her? And I would think the answer to that is a big fat no. So that's where things stand at the moment. And we'll see. We'll see what happens tonight. But that scathing report about the Biden crime family from Fox News today, not good for the Bidens. It's just not a good look, and it's hurtful.
This is a Fox News alert. All new this morning, House Republicans finding President Biden and his family received more than $27 million from foreign individuals and entities since 2014. Lawmakers call it an impeachable conduct. Brooke Singman is in Chicago with this story. Brooke, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
$27 million. $27 million from foreign individuals and entities.
A copy
Think about
of this
that.
292-page report from House Republicans. They're on the House Oversight, Judiciary, and Ways and Means Committees, and they've been leading this impeachment inquiry against President Biden for months. So they said their investigation found that President Biden engaged in impeachable conduct and said he abused his office and, quote, defrauded the United States to enrich his family. Republicans revealed that since 2014, the Biden family and its associates received more than $27 million from foreign individuals and entities. They also found that while Biden was serving as vice president, the Biden family got more than $8 million in loans from Democratic benefactors. And they say those loans have not been repaid. So this report says in part, quote, as vice president, President Biden actively participated in a conspiracy by, among other things, attending dinners with his family's foreign business partners and speaking to them by phone, often when being placed on speakerphone by Hunter Biden. Republicans are calling out a 2014 dinner that Hunter Biden and his father attended with a Russian oligarch. After that dinner, the oligarch wired $3.5 million to Hunter Biden's firm. Now, this report says, quote, several witnesses testified that Hunter Biden invoked his father in business dealings with Romanian, Chinese, Kazakhstani, and Ukrainian companies.
Don't forget Romania.
Millions of dollars flowing to the Biden family.
The lesser corrupt country, but still corrupt.
They're also calling out Biden for his handling of classified documents. House Republicans are now calling for Biden to be impeached. Ainsley.
All right.
Good. I mean, look, nothing about this surprises me. And you realize that this is why Joe Biden needs Kamala Harris to be there. I mean, as much as he'd love to shiver, as much as he would love to be able to turn around and say, you see, she lost. I could have won. I could have beat the guy. And I did beat the guy. Because there's always that in politics. There's always that revenge factor where you want to be able to tell people, hey, you know, had you gone with me? It's like the guy who says to his ex-girlfriend, you know, 20 years later, you know, if you'd stuck with me, you'd be good to go right now. But instead, you married that loser fraternity brother of mine. And look where you are now. Divorced, unhappy, broke, living in a trailer, drinking by yourself every night. I'm not saying that happened to my ex-girl. I'm saying that that's a hypothetical situation. That's a hypothetical scenario. I'm not saying that that's actually something that I'm familiar with. But did you know that Kamala Harris happens to be a person of color? Did you know that? Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one, came out and said that. And she wanted the world to know today that Kamala Harris happens to be a person of color. We're not sure what that color is exactly, but she happens to be that. And as they need to use that, they certainly will.
In any event, we're all very proud of Kamala Harris. Now, just self-serving, I'll put up a sign. This is self-serving. The first woman Speaker of the House from California.
That's you. That's me.
The first woman president. First woman Speaker of the House. The first woman president of the United States from California.
Yeah. We get all the firsts.
Who happens also to be a person of color. But I want you to just as I part, there's so many things. I mean, we'll see each other in the course of the week.
What?
We can chat some more. But here's the thing. it's going to be very exciting to have a woman of color to be president of the United States. That's not why she should be president of it. She should be president of the United States. She has the best person for the job. Who happens to be a person of color.
That's
icing on the cake.
Who happens
for us.
To be a person
and
of
the
color.
The message that diversity will send to the world is really a blessing for our country.
How do you know she's a woman anyway? That's the question. You know, Paula Scanlon's going to join us in a little bit. I sat down with Paula and recorded an interview with her prior to the Supreme Court striking down, or at least putting on hold, Title IX, but it still matters going forward. So we're going to talk about that plus the Olympic controversy. But how does Nancy Pelosi, how does anyone know Kamala Harris is a woman? Are we just supposed to take her word for it? Is that it? We just take her word? I want to see it. I want a test. I want a biologist. I want a team of biologists to come in and rule that way. But either way, Pelosi's claim is it's good that she's a person of color who also happens to be a woman, but you shouldn't vote for her for that reason. But we're going to put that out there and flaunt that and use it to our advantage, because obviously if you are criticizing of her, you are racist and sexist. Right. I mean, that's the thing. So we're going to use that until we decide that it's just going to be something that we don't use.
Person of faith, person of strength, person politically astute. She is ready for the job. It's four wonderful days that we're together. Now, just in closing, did I say that already? One more time. One good day in front of the other.
What does that even mean, one good day in front of the other? I don't even understand what that means, one good day in front of the other. I'd like to understand that. I mean, is that like having a nice Thanksgiving with your relatives when your neighbors rat you out to Tim Walz and his Stasi? You know, Tim Walz went out there and actually said, you know, isn't this great? You can have Thanksgiving now with your friends and your family, and you don't have to fight anymore. He said, remember the time you could go to Thanksgiving with your relatives and not complain about politics the entire time? This is a dude who locked people up for having too many people at their Thanksgiving dinner table. This is a guy who, if you brought candied yams and you were person number 12 at the table, you could get ratted out by your friends and neighbors. So, no, I don't remember a time when we didn't yell at each other. I remember a time when we were afraid to have people, more than a certain amount of people at our house, because we'd be in violation of blue state lockdown orders, like in New Jersey, where we had 10 people. We were limited to 10 people at our own homes. We didn't follow
that,
of course.
Some of us who have less hair and are old enough can...
Like Brad Pitt. Did you know that Brad Pitt's older than Tim Walz? I learned that the other night when I was on Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon. I didn't realize that. But the ladies on the panel with me, they all agreed.
Remember when you could go to Thanksgiving...
We're having a little audio issue. The Wi-Fi in this building is terrible, but that's all right. We'll make it work. We'll make it work as best we can. All right, we got to continue along here. Got to take a quick break. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. By the way, the big story of the day today brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. He's the man, and he'll give you a great smile, and he has two locations to serve you. And that's exactly why I want you to reach out to him today at VanariaDental.com. Oh, and don't forget, you know, this whole convention this week, they're trying to make it seem like it's very mainstream, very normal, very moderate. It's not. And I can tell you that based on the people I was on the shuttle with today from the hotel. So there's one guy next to us who's got his Remember January the 6th button on, wearing a mask. His wife next to him not wearing a mask, or maybe it was reversed, I forget, takes the mask off on the shuttle to make a phone call. Now, I don't understand the how COVID works, but does COVID give you a pass if you're making a phone call? Is that a thing COVID does? Is that one of the COVID courtesies? Look, the bottom line is this. This party's so nuts. CNN actually sat down with an Iowa voter who said, I'm very concerned about how liberal these people are.
I see Kamala and I see Walz as being so far left that it concerns me. I'm comfortable with Trump. We had 4 years of Trump. We know what Trump is. I'm not voting for him to be my Valentine. I'm not voting for him to be my best friend.
Yeah, look, she says it right. I mean, I think that what this woman says is exactly right. I'm not voting for him to be my Valentine. I'm not voting for him to be my best friend. Talk Radio 1210, WPHC, The Rich Zeoli Show. We are live from the Democrat National Convention here in Chicago, where Matt DeSantis is trying Pizzeria Uno at a gas station drive-thru. And I'm very, very excited for my Chicago hot dog, which I'm going to have in about, roughly around, what, half hour or so? I'm excited. Hey, Paula Scanlon, our buddy, she's coming up. Don't go away.
Thanks for listening to the Zeoli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
All right, joining me now, I'm so happy to have her. She's a local hero, in my opinion. She didn't intend to be. She was a swimmer and right in our backyard, but she's a champion, and she's a champion for women's rights. And I'm so happy to welcome back to the show, Paula Scanlon. How are you, my friend?
Hi, it's so good to be back. Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. University of Pennsylvania, you went there to study computer science. You swam NCAA Division I, the only female athlete at UPenn's engineering school in the class of 2022, and then you'd go on to work for New York City Financial Technology Company. But your life took a detour after the school allowed a biological male by the name of Will Leah Thomas to compete on the team, and you said, I could no longer be silent. So, first of all, for those who don't know, Paula, tell us your story.
You gave a brief summary there, but I swam at the University of Pennsylvania, and before I knew it, there was a man who was on the men's team named Will, decided he wanted to join our women's team, and upon doing that, he went and broke all of our team records. He was changing in our locker room 18 times every single week. And anytime we tried to raise our concerns to the athletic department of the university, they told us that we were the problem. They said that we would never be able to find a job. They told us that we would be tainted by this for the rest of our lives. And the last thing they told us is they said, if that's not enough to convince you, please seek psychological services and make an appointment with an on-campus counselor because you need help. And so, again, time and time again, they're telling us women that if we object to competing and undressing alongside men, we are the problem and we're the ones that need help, not the males that want to undress with us and not the males that think that they're women.
And then you got involved with Riley Gaines, and Riley's been on the show before, too. And the both of you have been out there, champions of this, speaking out about this and getting a lot of attention for it, but also a lot of blowback, too. I mean, a lot of grief, Paula Scanlon. I know that you've been threatened. You've been harassed. There have been numerous attempts to cancel you. I know it can't be easy.
Yeah, it's definitely challenging. But again, like, there's so many more girls that are talking about this now. I mean, there's Peyton McNabb. She's a high school volleyball player, knocked unconscious. She's become a good friend of mine. There's Caitlin Wheeler, who's one of Riley's former teammates at the University of Kentucky. I mean, there are just more and more girls who are speaking out about this. And so it's been really great to have a community, to have people that understand what it's like to be quote unquote canceled and have people call you names. I mean, yes, I do get comments that tell me horrible things, but in the long run, it's important to stand up for the next generation. And ultimately, all of this is worth it to protect these girls and to make sure Peyton McNabb, if you're not familiar with her story, she was knocked unconscious by a male volleyball player on the opposing team, permanent injuries, no longer able to play sports. That was preventable. And so it's our duty now to make sure another Peyton does not happen.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Olympics. I mean, there's clearly an agenda here. I saw this Washington Times piece about this, too. You know, now that the Olympics are over, let's talk about the IOC and the hidden agenda of promoting trans athletes. They had a book that they put out where the media, they were not allowed to reference certain terms. You know, you couldn't use terms like biological sex. You had to use their woke terminology. And I'm glad that we pushed back on this, and a lot of people did, but kind of give us an overview of where you think the agenda is with something like the International Olympic Committee.
Their agenda is clear. I mean, they're afraid of being canceled like many institutions are. Like, clearly the NCAA also has acted the same way, right? Even after watching Leah Thomas win a women's NCAA championship in the 500 freestyle, he won the event outright. It was not enough for the NCAA to change policies. And IOC has acted the same way. Again, the Ivy League acted the same way. I mean, these institutions are afraid of being canceled. They're afraid of being called names. They're afraid of losing money. And again, the IOC is just another example of that. And they decided that the governing bodies for each sport get to make their own rules, which means that you're not looking at fair competition across sports, right? So there are the FINA, the governing body for swimming, actually said that if you go through male puberty, you cannot compete at the world championship level and the Olympic level. And so in the Olympics, actually, Leah Thomas can't compete, and he actually did sue for that, which was quite interesting. But they've allowed other sports to make their own rules. And so what we just saw in boxing, the IOC took over for boxing and just said, yeah, anything goes, and these are our rules. And the guy went out and said, your passport is the determination of your sex, which is so crazy because we've seen instances, trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney was able to change his passport. So basing off of that, is just ridiculous and crazy. And again, they've just shown time and time again that they're not willing to stand up and do the right thing. And they're cowards.
Now, the controversy over this boxer, this Algerian boxer, Iman Khalif, who's now suing Elon Musk and J.K. Rowling, among other people. And I saw this posted on X a short time ago that Algerian boxer Iman Khalif shows off new feminine look after filing a lawsuit for cyberbullying during the Paris Olympics. The video shared to Instagram was an ad for Beauty Code. Khalif's lawyer says Elon Musk and J.K. Rowling are named in the lawsuit and wants to target individuals on social media, including X, who may have harassed Khalif. Legal scholar Maitre Elos said X is throwing cold water on the lawsuit, saying it has no legal chance of success because the alleged offense was not committed in France. So what's up with this boxer and the controversy around this?
There's two boxers that had previously failed genetic testing, meaning that they had Y chromosomes, which if you're not familiar, that means that you're male. And the concern
I'm not a biologist,
athletes,
so I just need to make that point very clear, Paula, since I'm not a biologist. I don't know what a woman is. I just have to take your word for it.
I know. I mean, I'm not a biologist either, but I think I can tell the difference between it. I'm not a veterinarian, and I know what a dog is. I mean,
it's a great point.
it's so crazy. But so they've, you know, basically the two athletes were assigned female at birth. I mean, we've seen this before in the Olympics. If you're familiar with the Caster Semenya story, it's the same situation where these athletes are ambiguous. There's sexual development disorders and they look female at birth. And then once they start to go through puberty, they become much more masculine because they do actually have a Y chromosome. And we see it. We've seen it before. And this is essentially what we're talking about, the fairness of, yeah, it's not fair for these athletes to compete because they have Y chromosomes and it makes them stronger and it makes them taller and it makes them have larger bones and it increases their testosterone level and all the different factors and all the different things that we can physically see the differences between men and women. But they don't want to hear it. The IOC did not want to hear it. And now, yes, they are filing lawsuits. One of the athletes is saying that, you know, being cyberbullied or something. But I say to these athletes, they never provided their own testing. It's not that expensive to show a test. And so a lot of other people online were saying the burden is on them, right? If you really, okay, yes, maybe it was a mistake. If you really are a female athlete, you can easily provide genetic testing to prove that you are, but they're declining to do that. And also when they appealed the decision originally, that athlete withdrew and the other athlete didn't even file an appeal at all. Like, isn't that in some ways, I mean, I'm not going to point fingers here, but isn't that a little bit of an admission of guilt?
Yeah, I would think so. And also, too, you know, it comes to this issue of, and, you know, it's funny because the term sex assigned at birth. I always ask this question, Paula Scanlon, who does the assignment? Is it a committee? Are they in the uterus? Are they in the cloud? Like, who does the assignment? That's what I want to understand.
It's just your doctor, the doctor, I guess, that, like, births the babies. And again, this is why these issues, it's sometimes, again, when you have these problems, they assign them female. And again, this is why it's also more common in countries that are considered more third world countries, right? Because in the United States, doctors are higher trained and they know to look for that, right? And then again, this is why these instances are coming up in these countries that are like have less developed medical infrastructure to know what these disorders are.
And thinking of the larger issue too with all of this and saving women's sports and the NCAA, and the election coming up. I mean, I know that you've been much more active politically speaking on X, and you should follow Paula on X at Paula Y. Scanlon for some great tweets. And, you know, you have on there that you are a defender of free speech. You're part of the Independent Women's Forum. And you've been posting a lot about the upcoming election. As a woman athlete, as a female athlete who's gone through this, who's advocated for women, who's taken the strong position that, look, we've got to save women's sports. We can't have dudes walking around sporting their junk in the women's locker room. Is there a clear distinction for you between the two candidates running for president?
Absolutely. I mean, again, I'm not going to sit here and force anyone to go vote a certain way. But what I will say is, you know, I know a lot of women speak on the issue of abortion. I'll just leave you this. If we don't know what a woman is, how can you possibly care about that issue and only vote on that issue? And that's something I'm looking at time and time again, and people are starting to realize, they're like, wait a minute, if we don't know the basic difference between male and female, how can anything else matter? And there is one party that has continually been unable to define women. And this is, Kamala Harris has said trans women are women, meaning men are women. Tim Walz has been crazy on that issue. He believes that children should be able to transition their gender. And if their parents object, the government takes custody of your kid. Do you really want somebody like that in the highest level of power in this country? And my answer is absolutely not. And I hope other people consider the same thing. I know there's a lot of other rhetoric being thrown around, but at the end of the day, this is about families.
This is about families. And I think that, first of all, I'm proud of you for wanting to speak out on these issues, because I know it's not easy and it gets harder every day. But Pennsylvania is ground zero for this upcoming election. You were a swimmer at the University of Pennsylvania. The UPenn swimming controversy was kind of ground zero for all of this. I mean, Will Thomas and what happened to you and your fellow teammates, Riley Gaines having to share the medal, all of this burst this issue onto the national scene. And, you know, you got Dave McCormick running for U.S. Senate. You have Donald Trump running for president. You've got Pennsylvania being the must-win state for this. And I really, truly believe we are at a crossroads, because if Kamala Harris and Tim Walz get in there, Tim Walz will absolutely push these policies, push these agendas, take away parental rights. And you see what California does. You know, if a kid goes to school and identifies as a different gender, the parents are not allowed to be notified. These are policies that take away parental rights. These are policies that are incredibly harmful to women, and they don't care. And so when they say that they're the party of women, I got to call BS on them. But since I'm a dude, it's helpful to have a woman like you, Paula Scanlon, call BS on them, because I think that point comes across very loud and clear.
Absolutely. And I will say, I actually thought through this before. And so it's funny, a lot of people accuse me of being like, oh, you know, you voted for this, women voted for this. There are some women who did not vote for this. I did not vote for this back in 2020. I could have seen exactly what he was doing. And the first day in office, Biden signed this executive order of sorts to encourage trans women, aka men, into women's sports, literally the first day in office. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, this is going to be a bad 4 years. And again, he did not surprise me. I saw through it. I saw through the pandering, and I advise other, you know, listeners and other women to do their research and to really think about what this means. And again, if we can't define the word woman, none of the other issues matter at all. It doesn't matter. We've lost. We don't have a society anymore. We're not even going to be able to have kids because nobody knows who's able to birth. You know what I mean? Like, it just, all the different things go down from there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, Donald Trump has said on day one he's going to overturn Biden's Title IX rewrite. I mean, just to understand the seriousness of this, you know, the Biden administration just unilaterally wrote executive action to rewrite Title IX to allow transgender athletes, biological men, to compete against women, be in women's locker rooms, be in women's sorority houses and women's spaces. There's lawsuits right now, but Trump has said, you know, on day one he's going to kill this. It's going to go away. And if Kamala Harris wins, it's going to stay. And that's why this is such a critical point. My daughter right now, so I've got two daughters, Paula. My son is 9, almost 10. He's playing 3 different sports right now. My daughter Claire is going to be playing soccer. None of my two daughters as of right now have the commitment and the intensity to get to where you got, to be able to play Division I sports. They're just not that into it. I mean, Claire's much more into theater, and Reagan is just a 4-year-old terror. So, I mean, she's literally a terror. She's on the terror watch list. I mean, I'm not even exaggerating that. Like, my 4-year-old should be sent to some sort of rehabilitation camp. But in the meantime, to get there, and I see parents who look at their kids who are working so hard to get to the level where you got. Because to be able to swim D1 at the University of Pennsylvania, the sacrifices you had to make, and then to turn around and say, all right, well, now you got to lose to a biological male. I think moms and dads are waking up to this fact and saying, it's not fair. You know, my daughter's got to get up early on Saturday mornings and go swim. They got to spend late nights in practice. They make sacrifices, right? I mean, how many things did you miss growing up because you were committed to practicing to be at the top of your game?
So many different things. I mean, you can even ask my parents, like, it was always a rush getting back from Christmas because I had to be back training by the morning of the 26th. So it would be, we'd do like a one day with the family, drive into the night. I mean, all the different social events, I'd have to turn things down to go to these meets or to go to practice. And again, this is not just swimming. This is every sport. And to dedicate all those hours to just say, oh, well, actually your scholarship is going to go to a man, or your trophy is going to go to a man, or whatever it might be that you're being bumped out of. It's just incredibly unfair. And I think people who are athletes, they know firsthand how ridiculous this is. And that's why I've seen a lot of, you know, really the people who competed in sports, the girls who competed in sports are really like, yeah, I was a D1 athlete and I see how wrong this is. And those are a lot of the people that we get the most support from, because again, they know the work that it took to get to that level. And even people who didn't make it to college, they still know because they did it in high school or they did it in middle school, and it helped them, you know, have an extracurricular activity to get them into college, right? Even if they didn't end up doing it in college. So it really, it's just downstream, and we're seeing younger and younger girls being affected by this. And I think that's where it really hurts is, okay, what if you do this to a middle schooler? And this has happened already. There are middle schoolers who aren't dealing with this, and they're not even going to want to play in high school, and then they're not going to get recruited, and it's going to alter the course of the opportunities that they'll have in their life.
So well said. I'm so grateful that you're speaking out on this. I'm so grateful you joined the show again. I hope you come back. Your voice is incredibly important. You're a fighter. You're a champion. We're honored to know you, and we're honored to have you on the show. We're proud to call you one of Pennsylvania's own. Paula Scanlon. Follow her on X at Paula Y Scanlon, and keep up the fight, my friend, and come back and visit us again very soon.
Thank you so much for having me today.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
We're going to go straight to the co-chair of the Republican National Committee, our friend Laura Trump. Laura, welcome back to the show. How you doing? Philadelphia's happy to have you.
Oh, well, thank you. It's always great to be with you. And now that I know you're officially at the DNC, I'll go ahead and say I'm sorry. But glad one of us is doing it, because we had a great time at the RNC, and that's all I needed. We're all set now.
Yeah, this is not nearly as fun. I'm just letting you know. I'm not feeling it. I don't have a warm, fuzzy feeling. And I got two voicemails from my mother this morning telling me to be careful.
Yeah, you probably didn't get those during the RNC, but no. I digress.
But I think there's something to be said, though, about the fact that the Milwaukee, the RNC was excellent, was fantastic. The protests were kind of minimal. I think it says a lot that Chicago is boarding up their businesses. It says a lot about the state of the Democrat Party today, doesn't it?
Well, exactly. It is. I mean, it's all very reflective of the two different parties. If you look at the city of Milwaukee, while we were there for, I mean, look, you know, we had people on the ground there for weeks, obviously, but for the 4 days of our convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the local businesses made a ton of money. It was very positive there. You know, you look at the other side of things there in Chicago, and man, could they use a little help in Chicago? Man, would it be nice for the local businesses to have, you know, money coming in instead of having to board up and head for the hills, essentially. It's really a shame, but it kind of speaks volumes about who these two parties are, what they stand for, and truly what life is like whenever you have one in office and whenever you have the other in office. If you want a Chicago-esque type of country, if you want to board up, if you want riots, if you want, you know, crazed people and giant uteruses, I guess, erected outside of buildings, then I guess the Democrats are your party. If you're looking to lose money instead of gain money, if you're looking to feel unsafe, then that's your group. But if you're looking for the other side of things, more money in your pocket, safer communities, you know, a family type environment and posturing in that direction, then it's a Republican Party that you should call home. And I think a lot of people felt that way when they watched our convention. We really wanted to make it about the people of this country. That's why night after night you heard from real Americans, people who some of whom had voted Democrat their entire life, mm-hmm. some of whom had never been political before and would have never imagined speaking at a political convention, but truly said that, you know, this is a time where they can't be silent any longer, and they wanted to talk about how their lives have all been taken in the wrong direction by the Democrats and how they are supporting President Trump and Republicans this go round in this election in 2024. And so, yeah, you just contrast, Rich, before things even really get kicked off and underway, just the feeling around the two cities, Milwaukee versus Chicago, and it kind of lays out a very clear picture, I think, for people.
Yeah, so well said. Lara Trump's with me. It's great to have her, the co-chair of the Republican National Committee. You and your husband, Eric, are doing a great job. And by the way, I know it was birthday for one of your kids. You guys had a nice little
yes.
weekend.
Yeah, thank you. My daughter, Carolina, turned 5 today, and we did a big Trump boat parade in Florida yesterday, so we had a great time.
That's excellent. You should follow Lara, by the way, at Lara Lee Trump. The other point, too, is that, I mean, when Kamala Harris came out on Friday acknowledging all the blame, the destruction of this economy under her presidency, her vice presidency, and then stealing President Trump's ideas on no tax on tips, but implementing price gauging controls and all of these other things and coming out and acting like she had nothing to do with this, like she was just somebody who went on a White House tour one day and wound up the nominee. When she was vice president of the United States, this happened in her administration, and they even said after the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal that she was the last person in the room. They're very proud of that fact. So the idea that she's trying to walk away from this and say that she has no responsibility here is just outrageous.
No, the whole thing, Rich, is outrageous. The whole thing. Joe Biden said it would take an act of God for him to drop out of this race. 48 hours later, he posts on X, he's dropping out, not going to seek re-election.
You imagine how surprised he was when that happened?
Yeah, imagine how surprised he was when they told him. Yeah, in the least democratic way possible, you have Kamala Harris just plugged on in. And by the way, if people think back to about 3 months ago, there were so many people who were questioning Kamala Harris as Joe Biden's running mate when they were talking about the possibility of Joe Biden possibly stepping aside and not seeking re-election. All these people were saying it really can't be Kamala Harris because she is so unpopular. Everyone knows she's failed as borders are and at her job as vice president. And then all of a sudden, we're supposed to think that the tables have turned 180 degrees and somehow she's this incredible politician, this person who everyone should be turning to for the answers. Rich, to your point, she's been there for 3.5 years. She has, I've been in the White House so many times. Her office is steps away from the Oval Office. You can go down there at any moment, talk to Joe Biden. You guys are a team. You own every single policy, Kamala Harris, that you and Joe Biden put in place that has taken this country in the wrong direction. And I would really like to see how these Democrats are going to gaslight people over the next 4 days into thinking that somehow Kamala doesn't own every single policy. That speech you referenced on Friday, I mean, I've never heard something crazier. It really felt to me a little bit like she's running for like class president or something and not president of the United States. The promises of it's price gouging. And I guess she said price gauging. I don't know what they wrote on her teleprompter because, you know, just point her in the direction of the teleprompter. She'll say literally anything on there.
She's like Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, literally. Her crack team came up with this whole thing for her. And yet every single economist out there, even the ones on the left, have said, this is preposterous. This is communist. There's no way to even regulate prices. What kind of country are we going to live in if this sort of thing is implemented? But it's like, oh, yeah, no Fridays if you vote for me for your school president. It's crazy stuff. And then the only things that make sense are the policies she steals from Donald Trump. Get ready for 4 days, ladies and gentlemen, of total chaos and gaslighting by this party, because that is the only thing, Rich, they can actually do. They can't be honest with the American people. They can only repeat lies like Project 2025, which Donald Trump has denounced, the RNC has denounced, the campaign has denounced time and time again and said we have nothing to do with this, yet they continue to spew that garbage out to the American people. They're running on nothing, and they're running on abortion. That's the policy platform of the Democrats. It's terrifying in so many ways, though, because if people are not smart enough to do a little bit of research, these people could end up in the White House. And I really mean it when I say it is the end of America. Communist policies put in place, complete inept groups of people taking charge of our government. If you thought it was bad now, it'll be like this, but on steroids. If Kamala and Tim Walz get a hold of this country, please go out and vote for Donald Trump and Republicans down the ticket. It's the only way we save America.
Yeah, so well said, my friend. You always bring the heat and the thunder. We appreciate it. I will say one thing before I let you go, though. There were people dressed up as abortion pills dancing in the streets. I kid you not.
Oh, my God.
And there's a vasectomy truck right outside here where you can get a free vasectomy. You didn't have that in Milwaukee. And I was kind of bummed about that because then I had to go home and schedule it with my doctor. So I'm just – my only complaint, my only critique of the RNC, that's it.
Yeah. I'm sorry you couldn't get your snow cone and vasectomy at the same time, Rich, when you were in Milwaukee. We'll try to shape up for next time. This is what the party is. Think of what a joke we look like to Xi Jinping. Think of what a joke we look like to our adversaries and allies around the world. They're watching this. We look ridiculous. It's a real disaster. Wow.
Follow her at Laura Lee Trump. Keep up the great work. The co-chair of the Republican National Committee. Thank you so much for joining us here in Philadelphia. We appreciate it.
You got it. Always. Thanks a lot.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app. The Zeoli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
We're going to go straight to the co-chair of the Republican National Committee, our friend Laura Trump. Laura, welcome back to the show. How you doing? Philadelphia's happy to have you.
Oh, well, thank you. It's always great to be with you. And now that I know you're officially at the DNC, I'll go ahead and say I'm sorry. But glad one of us is doing it because we had a great time at the RNC, and that's all I needed. We're all set now.
Yeah, this is not nearly as fun. I'm just letting you know. I'm not feeling it. I don't have a warm, fuzzy feeling. And I got two voicemails from my mother this morning telling me to be careful.
Yeah, you probably didn't get those during the RNC, but no. I digress.
But I think there's something to be said, though, about the fact that the Milwaukee, the RNC was excellent, was fantastic. The protests were kind of minimal. I think it says a lot that Chicago is boarding up their businesses. It says a lot about the state of the Democrat Party today, doesn't it?
Well, exactly. It is. I mean, it is all very reflective of the two different parties. If you look at the city of Milwaukee, while we were there you know, we had people on the ground there for weeks, obviously, but for the 4 days of our convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the local businesses made a ton of money. It was very positive there. You know, you look at the other side of things there in Chicago, and man, could they use a little help in Chicago? Man, would it be nice for the local businesses to have, you know, money coming in instead of having to board up and head for the hills, essentially. It's really a shame, but it kind of speaks volumes about who these two parties are, what they stand for, and truly what life is like whenever you have one in office and whenever you have the other in office. If you want a Chicago-esque type of country, if you want to board up, if you want riots, if you want, you know, crazed people and giant uteruses, I guess, erected outside of buildings, then I guess the Democrats are your party. If you're looking to lose money instead of gain money, if you're looking to feel unsafe, then that's your group. But if you're looking for the other side of things, more money in your pocket, safer communities, you know, a family type environment and posturing in that direction, then it's a Republican Party that you should call home. And I think a lot of people felt that way when they watched our convention. We really wanted to make it about the people of this country. That's why night after night you heard from real Americans, people who some of whom had voted Democrat their entire life, some of whom had never been political before and would have never imagined speaking at a political convention, but truly said that, you know, this is a time where they can't be silent any longer. And they wanted to talk about how their lives have all been taken in the wrong direction by the Democrats and how they are supporting President Trump and Republicans this go round in this election in 2024. And so, yeah, you just contrast, Rich, before things even really get kicked off and underway, just the feeling around the two cities, Milwaukee versus Chicago, and it kind of lays out a very clear picture, I think, for people.
Yeah, so well said. Laura Trump's with me. It's great to have her, the co-chair of the Republican National Committee. You and your husband, Eric, are doing a great job. And by the way, I know it was birthday for one of your kids. You guys had a nice little weekend.
Yeah, thank you. My daughter, Carolina, turned 5 today, and we did a big Trump boat parade in Florida yesterday, so we had a great time.
That's excellent. You should follow Laura, by the way, at Laura Lee Trump. The other point, too, is that, I mean, when Kamala Harris came out on Friday acknowledging all the blame, the destruction of this economy under her presidency, her vice presidency, and then stealing President Trump's ideas on no tax on tips, but implementing price gauging controls and all of these other things and coming out and acting like she had nothing to do with this, like she was just somebody who went on a White House tour one day and wound up the nominee. When she was vice president of the United States, this happened in her administration, and they even said after the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal that she was the last person in the room. They're very proud of that fact. So the idea that she's trying to walk away from this and say that she has no responsibility here is just outrageous.
No, the whole thing, which is outrageous. The whole thing, Joe Biden said it would take an act of God for him to drop out of this race. 48 hours later, he posts on X, he's dropping out, not going to seek re-election.
You imagine how surprised he was when that happened?
Yeah, imagine how surprised he was when they told him. Yeah, in the least democratic way possible, you have Kamala Harris just plugged on in. And by the way, if people think back to about 3 months ago, there were so many people who were questioning Kamala Harris as Joe Biden's running mate when they were talking about the possibility of Joe Biden possibly stepping aside and not seeking re-election. All these people were saying it really can't be Kamala Harris because she is so unpopular. Everyone knows she's failed as borders are and at her job as vice president. And then all of a sudden, we're supposed to think that the tables have turned 180 degrees and somehow she's this incredible politician, this person who everyone should be turning to for the answers. Rich, to your point, she's been there for 3.5 years. She has, I've been in the White House so many times. Her office is steps away from the Oval Office. You can go down there at any moment, talk to Joe Biden. You guys are a team. You own every single policy, Kamala Harris, that you and Joe Biden put in place that has taken this country in the wrong direction. And I would really like to see how these Democrats are going to gaslight people over the next 4 days into thinking that somehow Kamala doesn't own every single policy. That speech you referenced on Friday, I mean, I've never heard something crazier. It really felt to me a little bit like she's running for like class president or something and not president of the United States. The promises of it's price gouging. And I guess she said price gauging. I don't know what they wrote on her teleprompter because, you know, just point her in the direction of the teleprompter. She'll say literally anything on there.
She's like Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, literally. Her crack team came up with this whole thing for her. And yet every single economist out there, even the ones on the left, have said, this is preposterous. This is communist. There's no way to even regulate prices. What kind of country are we going to live in if this sort of thing is implemented? But it's like, oh, yeah, no Fridays if you vote for me for your school president. It's crazy stuff. And then the only things that make sense are the policies she steals from Donald Trump. Get ready for 4 days, ladies and gentlemen, of total chaos and gaslighting by this party, because that is the only thing, Rich, they can actually do. They can't be honest with the American people. They can only repeat lies like Project 2025, which Donald Trump has denounced, the RNC has denounced, the campaign has denounced time and time again and said we have nothing to do with this, yet they continue to spew that garbage out to the American people. They're running on nothing, and they're running on abortion. That's the policy platform of the Democrats. It's terrifying in so many ways, though, because if people are not smart enough to do a little bit of research, these people could end up in the White House. And I really mean it when I say it is the end of America. Communist policies put in place, complete inept groups of people taking charge of our government. If you thought it was bad now, it'll be like this, but on steroids. If Kamala and Tim Walz get a hold of this country, please go out and vote for Donald Trump and Republicans down the ticket. It's the only way we save America.
Yeah, so well said, my friend. You always bring the heat and the thunder. We appreciate it. I will say one thing before I let you go, though. There were people dressed up as abortion pills dancing in the streets. I kid you not.
Oh, my God.
And there's a vasectomy truck right outside here. Yeah. Where you can get a free vasectomy. You didn't have that in Milwaukee, and I was kind of bummed about that, because then I had to go home and schedule it with my doctor. So I'm just – my only critique – of the RNC. That's it.
Yeah. I'm sorry you couldn't get your snow cone and vasectomy at the same time, Rich, when you were in Milwaukee. We'll try to shape up for next time. This is what the party is. Think of what a joke we look like to Xi Jinping. Think of what a joke we look like to our adversaries and allies around the world. They're watching this. We look ridiculous. It's a real disaster. Wow.
Follow her at Laura Lee Trump. Keep up the great work. The co-chair of the Republican National Committee. Thank you so much for joining us here in Philadelphia. We appreciate it.
You got it, always. Thanks a lot.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.